If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back, everybody. It's hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid and the Mightier 1090 in San Diego. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. You can follow me on Twitter at Bogman Sports. I'm joined by my friendo, Casey Bubba. Follow him on the Twitter at BDantric. And we got an ear-to-ear grin from Casey Bubba right now because as a Dolphins fan, he is enjoying a rare primetime 10-point victory for his Dolphins after Thursday Night Football. We, of course, are recording this immediately after the Thursday Night Football game. So, Bubba, just, what are your initial feelings of a big, big win for your Dolphins getting in the win column finally?
I really don't know what to do with my hands right now. It's pretty crazy. It's
offense run good.
Yeah, exactly. the Dolphins winning a primetime game is shock enough. Doing it in dominating fashion on the road, I don't care who they're facing. I really don't. That was fun to watch. Fitzpatrick was like clinical. The defense showed up, which I was really nervous about with some key players being out and the way the Jags offense has looked of late. I respected Minshew and company, but that Dolphins team, it makes you think, you know, going into New England, facing the Bills, two very good football teams, maybe they were just up against it, no preseason, you know, a couple weeks now, and they're starting to find their legs like they did last year. And I'm not saying that by any means they're a playoff contender, but they could be closer to a 500 team than a, you know, 4-12 team.
Hey, you know what? Weirder things have happened. The Marlins have clinched a playoff spot, I think, or are close to clinching a playoff spot in baseball right now. So, anything can happen, especially in Florida with all of their wackiness right now. So very, very impressive win for the Dolphins. And, you know, the best part, I think, about this win is that everybody took the Jags on the national broadcast before the game. And they were doing beard or mustache. And everybody was wearing their dumb mustache before the game kicked off. And now they're interviewing Ryan Fitzpatrick in postgame. And having to, you know, go back on their mustache take over the beard take. So that's always fun for me. But we're going to dive deep into this game when we come back after this break. We're going to get, a full recap of the Dolphins and the Jaguars here. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this. We'll also be going over our bets and stuff. So stick with us. A lot of football here in hour three.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life. So I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is going to be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In this league.
I'm back!
Welcome back, everybody. It is In This League on the Sports Grid. I'm Scott Bogdan. I'm joined by my friend, Casey Bubba. Bubba, please tell everybody where they can find all of your great work.
Oh, well, thanks for calling it great. That's a great appreciation in itself. But on Twitter, at BDentrick, B-D-E-N-T-R-E-K. Bench with Bubba going once or twice a week right now. Baseball season's almost over. We're going to still be rocking that one. Do two daily DFS shows for baseball, MLB DFS Quick Hits, and the Line Star DFS show with our buddy Joe P. Sapia. My Quick Hits show, my solo podcast, will keep going through most of the playoffs. Line Star finishes up this past week. It's done. So that'll be going. I got the golf podcast, Always Pressing, PGA DFS podcast, and then a lot of written work at rotoballer.com and Fantasy Sports DGen. So always something going on. So just check me out on the Twitter at BDentrick and you'll find all the goodness.
And you guys know the Welsh broke down all the ITL stuff, but you can just follow me on Twitter at Bogman Sports. But I'm picking up the NFL torch for Bubba on that Line Star show with Pisa Pia. So it's me and Pisa Pia doing.
You guys are doing a great job. It's awesome.
Football show. I appreciate it.
And you can pick touchdowns on like Joe. So it's good.
I did give him some crap.
I already listened to it.
You heard it. So I said, maybe Joe will get someone who will actually score a touchdown this week. So, had to razz him a little bit. He did pick DK Metcalf, who I picked first and scored a touchdown. No big deal. It would be hilarious if he didn't score a touchdown for Joe after scoring one for me, but we'll see when we get there. Now, look, I know when we look at the schedule for Thursday Night Football, Bubba, there's going to be a lot of crap games here. Number one, we got to get every team. Every team plays at least one Thursday Night Football game every year. So that's number one. And number two is, we don't know. Some of these teams early year are going to be sloppy. A lot of these teams are going to be coming on short rest and playing and all that good stuff. So seeing this Jacksonville-Miami game on the schedule wasn't one where I went, oh, this is going to be great. But leading into the week, my big question here, and I'm glad we got to watch these teams, was what the hell is going on with these running backs with these teams, because I haven't been able to sit and watch, the whole Miami game or Jacksonville game play by play yet. So I knew that Robinson was getting a lot of run, but last week he split almost 50-50 snaps with Chris Thompson. And Chris Thompson only had the four touches, but he did score a touchdown and he was in there for only like three fewer snaps. So I was like, what is this? Are they just, is he just getting all third downs and maybe a series or two? And then Jordan Howard has had the hamstring issue early in the season. So Gaskin has been getting a lot of work. Matt Breida was the fourth guy to touch the ball in week one. He was the second guy to touch the ball in week two. So what is going on there? Because Howard scored the touchdown, but he only had eight snaps. They're all at the goal line. So I was like, is he a goal line back, or is this his hamstring is tender? No one else can punch it in. So we're just going to have him do goal line work until he can get in there. So I think we have some of these questions answered in this game fantasy-wise, but this was a fun game to watch just overall too, because I think the entertainment value was, and we saw this a lot from commercials and the lead-ups and stuff, is will Ryan Fitzpatrick be bad enough to where we get to see Tua in primetime? I think that was the big thing. And I don't know, on a level of 1 to 10, how insulting is that to Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's the starter, Bubba? Is that super insulting, or is it, you have to understand because we took this guy, four overall and everybody wants to?
Well, I think it's insulting, but at the same time, I think it's also understanding. Like Fitzpatrick's flat out said it. He knows he's here to carry the torch until Tua's ready. He's going to do everything he can to get Tua ready and help Tua become a professional quarterback. But at the same time, he doesn't want to hear stuff like that because he's out there winning football games, just like he did last year. People wanted him out of the way last year, and he kept winning football games and doing his thing. So it's one of those deals. He's kind of been this way every stop along his career. There's always been another quarterback behind him ready to take his job, and he has continued to be good enough to keep things going. So, to me, it's very insulting because he's, like, not clueless to the fact that Tua is going to be playing sooner than later. But if he plays like he did tonight, it's going to make it a lot harder for them to make that move.
Yeah, 18 of 20, 160 yards, and 2 touchdowns for Fitzpatrick. So, interesting. You know, the sideline camera kept going to Tua. What's Tua doing? What's Tua doing? He was just chilling, just sitting on the sideline, doing nothing. And, you know, Fitzpatrick said he asked incredible questions, which is no surprise to an unbelievably intelligent, talented quarterback. So he'll get in. And, you know, look, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say it's probably going to be this year. I think Tua will play this year for sure. You know, we mentioned this stat before, but every quarterback that's been drafted in the first round, I think since like 2007, has gotten at least one start, even when it's, you know, like that week 17 when a team has either nothing to play for because they're out or they got a bye. They have a bye already or they already clinched and they don't have to win that game. But getting back to this running back situation, I think we saw it solved on both sides. I think with your Dolphins, Myles Gaskin is just a man. 22 carries, not very effective running, 66 yards, only 3 yards per, but they start stacking the box after the first quarter when they realize the strategy is give the ball to Gaskin. And they were throwing it to him, too. He also had 5 catches for 29. The downside for Gaskin moving forward in a fantasy aspect is that Jordan Howard, 3 carries, 1 yard, 1 score. And so he is clearly the goal line back. And Breida is the, you know, he's in there for wheel routes to draw pass interference calls and mop up duty late. So, Patrick Laird is a fullback now. He played more fullback than he did halfback. I think he played more tight end than he played halfback. So he's nothing in this offense outside of a blocker. So we don't have to worry about him. But would you say, Bubba, when you're looking at this Dolphins running back role, that that is what we have for Gaskin is the man now, but limited upside because of the touchdowns going to Howard?
100%. Howard's basically, I saw someone tweet it out. It's very accurate. He's Jordan the bus right now. Jordan the bus. Howard. And okay. I believe
he's better than that. How about Jordan Gillislee? How about that?
There you go. He's Jordan Gillislee. Jordan Allstott in his last season. he basically, I think he has 17 carries on the year now for like 14 yards and 4 scores or 3 scores. So he's literally just doing the same thing. So that does hurt a ton with Gaskins, but using him in the passing game does help a lot. And like you said, they were stacking the box. Those opening drives, he found holes and he was running beautifully. Like stacking the box, he's not built to power through guys. He's not Derrick Henry. He needs to get out in space, make things happen. So I'm with you there. Breida's going to have a game or two this year. You just know he will, he'll break a couple plays or something on the passing game. But it's Gaskin's job, and I don't see it changing right now.
That speed kills. And you know, we can knock Breida. I mean, look, he is the kind of the third back here, I guess. Not really the third back. You could call him the second. It's like Gaskin is one. These guys are, 2A and 2B because – Howard's getting those goal line carries and Breida is kind of working in mop up duty here. I was a little disappointed in Preston Williams. I did start him in a couple leagues. He got the touchdown first, but only had one other target. So 2 catches, 7 yards and a touchdown for him. Parker 5 for 69. We know he wasn't at 100%, but everything else kind of scrambled. Gesicki only had 1 catch after having a huge week last week. Jakeem Grant only 1 catch. Isaiah Ford had 2 catches, but only 14 yards. And we saw, Fitzpatrick had more rushes than anyone had catches. So that's not really what you want to see fantasy wise. But I think you and I can agree to this, that we're just chalking that up to game script and what happened in this game. And, that this isn't going to be the normal stat line that we see from the Dolphins because they don't get to play Jacksonville every single week. And, no disrespect to the Dolphins, but we don't expect them to be playing from ahead in that far ahead in most of their games, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. Like Parker's going to get his. Gesicki will get his in a regular game flow. I wouldn't be too concerned about that. The Preston Williams thing is kind of surprising to me just because I figured at least he'd get a few more than 2 targets. Fitzpatrick did, spread it out really well. Game flow did not need him to throw the ball at all. So he was literally just checking down to guys and taking the 5 or 6 yards at a pop if he had to or doing little things here and there. So he wasn't worried about extending the play with third and long situations where you'd use a Parker or a Williams more often. So it was definitely game flow dependent. I wouldn't be too worried about it, but I was glad to see Parker battling an injury, still get 5 for 69. That was a good sight to see.
Yeah, and you know, he talked about it. Last year was the first year he played 16 games, but we got to hit a break. When we come back, we are going to finish up our Thursday Night Football talk and talk about our bets. We'll be right back. It's In This League on the Sports Grid after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo.
All night.
Welcome back, everybody. Sports Grid and the Mighty 1090 in San Diego. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. At Bogman Sports, I can't speak right now. And at BDentric on the Twitter machine. We're wrapping up talking about this Thursday night football game, Bubba. And on the Jacksonville side, obviously, a disappointing effort from them. And honestly, I know that Minshew had some, he had some bad throws and some tough decisions to make and rough decision making in this game. Steve Smith, the last thing I heard before we fired up here was just, you know, OBJing all over Gardner Minshew, saying that, you know, he can't read his own defense to save his life and he couldn't get out of his own way and all that stuff. But I found it weird that with a guy that is effective throwing medium routes, intermediate routes to short routes, they had him throwing deep a lot. And I know it was after they got down 14 zip, but James Robinson looked really good in this game, especially initially. He averaged more yards per carry than Gaskin did, 4.2, 11 carries, 46 yards. He did get in the end zone twice, but he did more of his damage through the air, 6 catches on 6 targets for 83 yards. He looked better catching the ball than even Chris Thompson, a, you know, receiving back did. So I don't know. I are you more disappointing in Jacksonville's game, the calling, or in Gardner Minshew's performance? Because he did throw a pick at the end.
I guess I'd say the play calling more so, because if you look at what he did, he spread it around. So you'd imagine it was the defense was forcing his hand a little more than he'd normally like, because, you know, you mentioned Robinson got his. Thompson still had 6 targets. He went to Conley a lot, which you'd expect. Cole got 5. Like, he spread it all over the place. It was just all a lot of short passes, like 5 for 33, 5 for 35, 4 for 40. Like, there wasn't chunk plays, yards after the catch, which you mentioned Minshew and company thrive upon. So the Dolphins are kind of – it's like that whole bend but don't break. Okay, let him catch it and tackle him. And that's what they were doing very well.
Yeah, exactly. And Robinson moving forward, I mean, look, I wasn't sure about him. And it wasn't that I didn't like him. You know, I knew who he was. He's State, which – I could say is more than a lot of people coming out of this draft, and Shifty is a good back. And, you know, plenty of those guys get overlooked because they go to small schools. And obviously there wasn't a lot of pro days this year either. So maybe some teams didn't get a look at him, but, you know, there have been plenty of running backs that are overlooked that come out of nowhere. I remember Philip Lindsay went undrafted for the Broncos and went to the Pro Bowl. So There's plenty of these guys, but he looks so good catching the ball, and they gave him the goal line carries. God, and there was some good blocking by Jackson in those two touchdown runs. I was impressed by Cam Robinson. What do you think of that ejection call on him, by the way? Like, was that ticky-tack or, hey man, don't put your hands on the ref? What do you think?
In the end, it's, you know better, you just don't touch the ref, but I still think it's kind of like, come on, guys. Heat of the moment, stupid things happening, like swing at you and being like out of line. But I guess if you let him do it, then the next guy does it, the next guy does it, and something bad really happens. So you just got to go by the letter of the law. But sometimes it's just too much to the book, which is really annoying at times.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I thought, you know, I don't even know. Maybe he saw the ref. Maybe he didn't. All he knew was someone's hand was in his face. Get your hand off my face. And
yeah, and in the heat of the battle, you're getting that thing out of there quick. I guess.
Yeah, he was in a fumble pile. Right.
Yeah.
So they're trying to dig through him. Don't stick your hand in my face. I'm sorry. It doesn't really matter who you are. Get your hand out of my face. I do like the fact that they don't do the perp walk anymore, where they have to, you know, make those guys look like criminals. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And walk them all the way back to the locker room and all that stuff. You can stay on the sideline, but I think the equipment guy just comes and gets your helmet so you can't go back in. You know?
That's fine. Like, they're grown adults. They're just going to sit in the locker room and watch the game anyways. Let them sit on the sidelines. Like, who cares?
If there's a fight or if he punched the ref or something, like, get him out of there. But other than that,
he's MFing you the whole time throughout. Yeah, okay, go to the locker room. Like, you got to go.
Well, dude, I can't believe that Miles Jack, like, you know, sometimes you see there are a lot of penalties for Jacksonville in this game. It was a sloppy game. And by the way, this is the first game where I saw the refs really be overzealous, I thought. And these are the two teams you'd expect to get penalties called on them, as, you know, they're not, you know, they weren't going to be pretty good. I'm trying to watch my step here because I am with the Dolphins fan, but no, they had four penalties.
I understand we're not that good. It's cool.
Yeah, 6 for 51, and even when the Steelers are good, they get tons of penalties. 8 penalties for 63 for Jacksonville, so 14 total penalties, and we just haven't seen that much, which has led to overs and stuff, which this game did not go over because Jacksonville couldn't score. But moving forward, you want Gaskin or Robinson for the rest of the season?
I want Robinson just because the way we saw him, the way he could run in space was big. I just don't see a threat to him where you're going to have random games where, like, Jordan Howard's, like, one out of nowhere will get like 10 carries and just screw it all up. Or Breida will have a couple big drives and bust a play. And there goes Gaskin's touches for the game. Robinson's the guy. Chris Thompson's not coming in and carrying the ball 10 times. So I like Robinson.
Yeah, I'm absolutely with you on that. And, you know, even if they're playing from behind Jacksonville, which we expect in a lot of games, like you mentioned before, Robinson can catch the ball and he's going to get those goal line carries. So let's take a look at what Bubba did last week. We've already talked about my misgivings from last week. We don't need to rehash it or anything. Against the spread, Bubba, you were 6-9. So 3 games under. You're actually worst of the week on that because the Welsh and I were both 7-8. But you were best of the week by far on the over-unders at 9-6. You're 16-14 on both. So you're still over 500. Where I am 18-12 against the spread, but 11-19 on over-unders. Welsh is dead 500 on both. So you guys are both average. Yeah, you guys are both above me. So look, if you're hitting 50 or over, 50% or over, you're good and you're above average on both. So what was the most disappointing one or the one that surprised you the most from week 2 that you just look at and you go, ugh, how did I get that game wrong?
I can only pick one. That's how this because I know we were texting about it back and forth that it was just one of those weeks where it's like, what in the world is going on right now? But when you look back at last week, I think the Niners game, I know I'm crazy, but I thought the Jets would try to keep that closer. Like, I really did. I was thoroughly shocked in that. But I guess I'll just be blunt with it, and I think it's been said everywhere. The Vikings are horrible.
Oh my
that's
God.
The nicest way I can put it. I really am shocked.
That's my upset special of the week on Lion Star too. And they looked. I thought Kirk Cousins was going to take that
in the
second half.
Colts, like, get the garbage time. Like, that was embarrassing.
Yeah, especially the Colts coming off a loss to Jacksonville, who we just saw not look great, and because Fitzpatrick just did to the Jaguars what Minshew did to the Colts. So, because he was 19 of 20, Fitzpatrick 18 of 20 in this game. And I think one of those was a drop for Fitzpatrick as well. So, but we'll lay the pass in the pass. And it's going to be interesting to see this week because the Welsh and I differ on a bunch of picks. Joe and I differ on a bunch of picks this week. So we'll see how lockstep we are. We'll get a couple in here before we hit the break and go to the final couple segments. But let's start out in Atlanta, Bubba, where Atlanta is a 3.5-point favorite at home over the Chicago Bears. The over is 47.5. What say you on that game?
It's a game where no defense is really going to be played in that dome. So I'll take the over for sure. I'll lock that one in to the good column. It's just tricky here now because, you know, Chicago on the road, Trubisky, which one shows up the first after Trubisky or second after Trubisky? Atlanta can blow a lead. That's been established. So that's
can really they ever?
Yes, my goodness, man. I thought one was bad enough. Second time's a charm, apparently. Mm. But I want to take Chicago with that 3.5-point hook, but I'm going to take Atlanta. I think they get right at home. Give me Atlanta. Give me the over.
All right. I went Chicago because they played the two unders so far. And I took the under. So Chicago on the under, I think that the one good thing they do is defense. And if Trubisky shows up, I think Chicago could win outright. But I think straight up, I'm still going to go with Atlanta. But I took Chicago against the spread and the under in that one. So we are differing on that one. How about this one? Cincinnati at Philly. Philly, a 5.5-point favorite at home, even though they haven't looked good. But Cincinnati looks really not good. And 46.5. is the over on that one. What say you for the Eagles and the Bengals?
Cincinnati and Joe Burrow goes to 3-0 against the spread. Cincinnati will cover. Yeah, you know, losers, people lose games, real men cover. Joe Burrow covers. He's going to go to 3-0 on the season there. And I'm taking the over because I really don't like either defense in this game. And when worse comes to worse, Cincinnati can fling it around. Like, as much as we want to clown on them, Burrow's look great back there. He's going to throw it 60-plus times if he has to. And they're going to let him die back there eventually. But I'll take the over in this one, and I'll take Cincinnati covering it because we mentioned Cousins looks rough. If Wentz doesn't do it this week, I'm really concerned because I got him in a couple leagues, and I was close to dropping him this week. But I saw Cincinnati rolling into town, so I couldn't do it just yet. But yeah. I swear, if it doesn't happen this week, he's gone.
I got Philly in a get-right game. Now, I think they're much, much better than this Bengals team. So I've got Philly, but I'm with you on the over. Neither one of these teams are playing – great defense right now. Philly is especially, I mean, look, in my IDP leagues, wherever I got Brandon Graham, I'm firing him up against this terrible, terrible Bengals, O-line here. But I'm taking Philly, but I am going to hit the over. One more before we hit the break. Let's go to my game. The Steelers are hosting the Houston Texans this week. They are 4-point favorites, and 45 is the over on that one. What say you on that game, Bubba?
Give me Pittsburgh and the under on that one.
Pittsburgh and the under. We are lockstep on that one. That's the way I like to end a segment, with you and I picking the same one. So when we come back, we'll finish up the picks for week 3. And then to end it out, we will pick ourselves some parlays here. The Welsh and I forgot to do it in hour 2, but he gave me his parlay. So I have his. I'll pick one and Bubba will pick one. We'll be right back after this break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old...
In this league.
Talk about www.com, you made you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
Welcome back, everybody. In this league, on the Sports Grid, I'm your host, Scott Bogdan. Follow me at Bogdan Sports on the Twitter. Follow my friendo, Casey Bubba, at BDNTrick. We are making picks for week 3. I promise we're going to do better. I'm going to do better than I did last week for sure. And I got to tell you, Bubba, I don't think you realize how bad I was in the beginning games. Because you text me, I mean, I think you could tell I was kind of riled up. by some of the language potentially being used in
it helped me text you more after that, by the way.
Right. Yeah. I was charged up. I was charged up, but I got 4 of 5 games right in the night slate, the afternoon and the Sunday night, Monday night game. I went 4 for 5 in those. That really helped me get to one game under 500 for the week. But my over under is 5 and 10 on this show. And I wasn't as bad on Line Star because the lines flipped, you know, the lines changed a little bit in that one. So my picks were just a little bit different, but not the greatest of week, but I think I'm going to do better this week. This game is interesting. Welsh and I have this pick different. New England is hosting the Raiders. They are 6.5-point favorites. 47.5 is the over on this one. What do you feel about the Raiders on the road against the Pats?
A couple things here, because people are going to be excited about the Raiders watching what they did to the Saints at home. Beat up Saints team. Breeze is getting old. No Michael Thomas. I'm going to take that one with a grain of salt. Opening a new stadium. I don't care if there's fans or not. You got a lot of hype going on. So I'm going to let that one kind of simmer down the Raiders level a little bit. And I was absolutely impressed, like beyond impressed, with how good Cam Newton looked in Seattle. Now, I mentioned it last week. No 12th man will help that a lot on those final drives. But he was making passes I haven't seen Cam make with precision like that in a long time. He's running guys over. You want to talk about a goal line back? Well, he's their goal line back. It's ridiculous. So I'm taking New England in this game. I think they win by double digits. I think they put the Raiders down, West Coast going east. Give me the Patriots. I do like the over in this one. I think like a 35-20 type feel to it. I like New England to make a statement this week.
I took the Raiders in the under. So we're going opposite on that one too. It's not that I like the Raiders, but what I really didn't like in that New England game was Seattle's defense and the inability to put pressure on the quarterback at all whatsoever. I think the Raiders, while, you know, not having the best pass rush in the NFL, they are way more effective at getting to the quarterback than the Seahawks are right now. So I think they put a little bit more pressure, which means more runs for Cam Newton. So I'm more confident on the under than I am on the Raiders, but I do like that pace to be a little bit different than what we saw for New England versus Seattle. The next game here, Buffalo against the Rams. They are 1.5-point favorites. 47.5 is the over in this one. I despise everything about this line. I would say if I were betting this weekend, this is not one I'd be laying any money on, Bubba. So what are you going with in this game?
Give me the Josh Allen-led Buffalo Bills to win this game, cover the spread, and give me the under in this one. The weather's going to be nasty. Wind gusts up to 25 to 30 miles an hour. It's going to be one of those old school Buffalo. You might have a few, you know, toys thrown on the field just for old time's sake. It's going to be one of those games. Buffalo under. They take care of business against Rams.
I went Buffalo and over because I don't know. I just don't know about this game. The wind usually helps, but sometimes that causes turnovers. It sets up short fields too. True. So I don't like this game overall. I have to pick it, so I'm going to pick it. And I took the Rams or the Bills in the over, but I hate this game. The next one is the Niners on the road at the Giants. San Francisco, 3.5-point favorites. 40.5 is the over in this game, Bubba. This one is ugly. These are broken offenses here on both these teams. We got backup quarterback for San Francisco. Leading back Raheem Mostert is out. Saquon Barkley, who's 99% of the Giants' offense, is done for the year with the ACL tear. So what say you on Giants and Niners?
You got Nick Mullins with Jerick McKinnon and Wilson in the backfield, maybe Jordan Reed part two. Then you got, you know what, Freeman and Gallman and no Sterling Shepard. This is just beautiful. Week 3 football, everybody. Absolutely amazing stuff. But what I'm going to go with here is I'm going to go with Danny Jones. I'm at home. I think the Niners still win this game, but I think it's closer than they think. I'll take Danny Jones in the over. That 40.5, I know it seems too easy to go over. I'm going to take the bait on that one. Give me Danny Jones and the Giants and the over.
All right, I'm going with the Niners in the over. I am confident in that over because that number's so low. 40.5, I expect with busted offenses, some turnovers to happen, short fields, that kind of stuff. So I'll take the over on that one, but I don't particularly like picking that game. Minnesota and Tennessee in this one. Tennessee is a 2.5-point favorite, 48.5. So I flip-flopped a little bit on Lion Star on this one. I'm sure you heard me, but what are your thoughts on Minnesota and Tennessee for this week?
Man, it's like one of those, okay, I just talked so much trash about how bad Minnesota was. And you look at this line, and you look at all the situation, and I'm taking Tennessee to win this game and cover because Minnesota, like, you have to prove me wrong. I'm sorry. Give me Tennessee and give me the over because Minnesota ain't going to play defense. Derrick Henry's going to have a huge game. He didn't come through last week, coming through this week. And if he can't, Tannehill's playing phenomenal. You got Jonnu Smith. Give me Tennessee. Give me the over in this one. Minnesota is going to be looking for a top, you know, two or three pick here pretty soon.
Oh, come on. I don't think they're going to be that bad. Kirk Cousins, if he goes for a whole year like this, there's going to be real panic in Minnesota. There's going to be real, real panic. And if you're in the position to take, you know, Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields or, you know, in any of those top end quarterbacks that are coming out this year, then I get it. But I already saw
all over social media last week, Photoshop's already got Trevor Lawrence in Minnesota gear. So it's already started.
Well, look, we saw it with Dabo Swinney and Trevor Lawrence in Jaguars gear before, and they won week one. So who knows?
Right now, question, would you rather have Minshew or Cousins right now?
I'd rather have Cousins.
It's close.
I hesitated. But I'd rather have Cousins. So, look, we've seen Cousins have some just bomb out, horrific, terrible games. And that's going to happen. I get it. But I can't take Minshew. I just can't do it. Especially after watching him crash and burn. Going to Cleveland hosting the Washington football team. Almost did it, but I didn't. Cleveland is a 7-point favorite. 44.5 is the over in that one, Bubba.
Give me Washington and the over because no defense, but Washington will keep it within a touchdown. I'm getting mad because I'm taking so many overs this week, which will never end well, but give me Washington and the over.
I have two unders so far, doing better than last week, but you also were better than all of us last week. So the Chargers are hosting Carolina. Hopefully no doctors with needles are around any quarterbacks before this game. 6.5-point favorites for the Chargers, 44 the over on that one.
Give me the Los Angeles Chargers and the under in this one.
Chargers in the under. I took Chargers in the over, but Welsh took Chargers and the under. So we're just off on that one. I don't know. I think there's going to be early garbage time. So I think it pushes it to an over. But we saw early garbage time in this game on Thursday night, and we didn't get hit the over.
Tick, tick. That's what they do.
Exactly. The Colts are 10.5-point home favorites against those pathetic Jets. 44 is the over in that one. What are you rocking with in that one?
This feels like the Dolphins last year, where every week was a double-digit spread, and I kept taking the Dolphins because it's the NFL, and that's ridiculous. and the Jets, man, they got to be better. They're not. So give me Indianapolis in the over in this one because Phillip Rivers and just keep establishing things in that offense. Jonathan Taylor is going to just have another monster day.
Yeah, I think they're going to rock with Taylor so much, I'm going Colts and I'm going the under. I just think they burn clock in that game. So I'll go with the under, but I am taking the Colts and that big spread. I'm giving those points too. Dallas on the road against Seattle. Seattle is a 5-point favorite in this one. Highest line of the week, highest over of the week, 55.5. How do you see that one going?
This is another really good game to watch, period. But I really love what Russell Wilson's doing. 5 points is a lot. Did it last week. I'm going to go with Dallas in the over on this one. Seattle wins, but give me Dallas in the over.
Lockstep. I'm also Dallas and the over in that one to Seattle. No ability to pressure the passer at all. You give Dak time with Cooper, Lamb, and Gallup, he's going to make throws. And Dalton Schultz looked good last week, so he's going to make throws. How many spots did you pick up Schultz? Did you get him anywhere?
Three or four, yeah.
Yeah, I got him in a couple spots as well. Arizona hosting the Detroit Lions. 5.5 is the over here. 54.5 is the over. 5.5 is the line. What are you going with on the Cards and Lions?
Kyler Murray continues his MVP campaign. Arizona wins by at least a touchdown, and this game goes over.
Yep, samesies. Arizona and the over. This one is tougher to pick, I think. Denver hosting the Bucks, Tampa Bay, 6-point favorites. A backup quarterback in Denver with Jeff Driscoll, 43.5 is the over in that one, Bubba.
Give me Denver. Driscoll wasn't horrible, and I think they want to slow this game down. So give me Denver and the under in this one.
I took Denver and the over, but I am also on Denver. I think that spread is too big for Tampa Bay while Brady is still kind of working it out here. I don't think they lost a lot from going from Drew Lock to Jeff Driskel, and Driskel almost came back and won that game.
Surprisingly.
Yeah, I mean, the Steelers love to lose to backup quarterbacks, like I mentioned before, many, many times. But they were cutting it dangerously close. I mean, my Sunday would have got way worse if my Steelers would have bombed out to Jeff Driskel, who they've beaten before when he was backing up Andy Dalton in Cincinnati. So New Orleans hosting Green Bay. Somehow, after looking not great the first 2 weeks, they are 1-1. They beat Tampa, but Tampa really beat themselves in that first week. They are 3-point favorites. 51.5 is the over in New Orleans hosting Green Bay. What do you have in that one?
Green Bay moves to 3-0, winning this game outright, and I like the over. No crowd, big factor in that game. Green Bay at the over.
I took Green Bay in the under because I just don't think New Orleans' offense is right
now. Green Bay's been scoring over 40 points in every game so far. They're going over.
Yeah, but New Orleans' defense is better than Detroit and Minnesota.
So, Vegas just scored 34.
Yeah, that's true. But they were also at home. So I don't know. I don't think this is going to continue. I don't think Aaron Jones is going to have another 180-yard game for the Packers. So I'll take the under in that game. I think it'll play a little bit closer, but I don't know how New Orleans, it's just, I think they know because people will take New Orleans at home. I think that's almost a trappy game. 100%. Monday Night Football. This one is going to be a lot of fun, Bubba. I'm going to do Monday Night Football with Bogman this week too, to watch this game. This one is going to be exciting. Baltimore hosting Kansas City. Baltimore is a 3-point favorite. 53.5, the second, third behind Arizona and Seattle and Dallas, but very, very high. One of three games over 50 points here. So 53.5 points in this game is the over. Baltimore by 3. What do you got in that one?
Man, this is a tough one. I'm going to go Baltimore being at home in this matchup, but you would not be shocked if the Chiefs get it done. I'm taking the over. This has a feeling of that Chiefs-Rams Monday Night Football game like a year ago or whatever, just back and forth video game style. Mahomes wanting to top Lamar and back and forth. I can't wait to watch this. As they say, get your popcorn ready, get some pizza, get everything, because this is going to be awesome.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to get some sliders. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get some sliders rocking for this game. This one's going to be fun. But you know, I got to root against Baltimore, so give me Kansas City.
I want the Chiefs to win. I just feel like at home – Mahomes, you know, they won their title. Lamar wants to do his thing.
It's a tough game to pick. I'm taking the Chiefs. I am taking the under too in this game because I just think most games don't live up to this hype. And I know a lot of games have been going over this year and all that good stuff, but I don't know if this one, it leads to the hype that it deserves, but it's going to be fun to watch for sure. But we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be ending hour 3 of In This League on the Sports Grid. We'll be right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends
in this league.
In the dark.
Welcome back, everybody. You hear Endless Love. You know what that means. It is the end of the 3-hour tour of In This League on the Sports Grid in the Mightier 1090 in San Diego. So we bid you adieu, but we are going to leave you with a little party. The Welsh and I forgot to do our parlay, which we usually do in the very end of hour 2, but... I will give you mine, Bubba, and then I'll read you off the Welsh's, and then we will get yours to close out the show here. I'm going to go with the Seattle-Dallas over. I think that's one of the easier ones of the week. I'm going to double dip that game. I'm going to take Dallas in that game. I think they're riding high off that comeback win, and I just them being able to point for point for with Seattle like nobody else can. And then I'm going to take Green Bay on the road. And I know that's a dicey one to pick against New Orleans, especially on the road. But I really like them over New Orleans this week. Welsh has the Niners. He's got his Niners against the Giants. He's got the under in the Minnesota-Tennessee game because it looks like a lot of running in that one, and Minnesota can't get anything together. And Carolina looks pathetic, so he is going to go with the Chargers and give the 6.5 points in that game as his three-team parlay. What say you for a parlay, Bubba?
We're going to try to back it up after taking down the parlay last week. We're going to go with Seattle-Dallas over, which I'm going to keep going that Seattle well as long as I can.
Only smart people do that one. So
exactly. Like that one. Exactly. And then we're going to go to my two MVP candidates. We're going to go Kyler Murray, -5.5, and we're going to go Aaron Rodgers, +3. So that's Arizona and Green Bay for those keeping track at home. But yes.
Arizona and Green Bay. I like those picks. I wanted to go with Arizona too, but it almost feels so automatic that something's up. You know, maybe the offense in Detroit looks different with Kenny Golladay presumably coming back. I mean, I know it's limited practices, but if you're practicing, you're probably playing unless something happens pregame. So, which sucks. That's an afternoon game too. Hate that. So with it being dicey, but I assume Golladay is going to go, and I have him in a couple spots. So I'm going to get him in. And my buddy from Detroit is coming over, and we're going to watch that game. So that should be fun too. So, but that is going to wrap it up for us. Remember, you can follow us on the Twitter at Bogdan Sports for me, at Is It the Welsh for the Welsh, at BD Entrick for KC Bubba. I hope you all have a great weekend and win all of those bets. Win yourself some money, and we will see you guys next week. Have a great weekend, everybody.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.